Okay, missions, being sent or delegated by authority. And we're going to look at just a few principles behind missions tonight. We'll start in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I have the strobe effect. It goes off and on. Perfect. Thank you, Pastor. All right, the first principle that we'll look at behind missions and being sent or delegated by authority is just simply the Bible itself. And number one, the Bible is a missionary book. The Bible is a missionary book. Even in the Old Testament, we don't think much of missionary activity as it pertains to today, but God was sending out His prophets all through the Old Testament, and He sent them out, of course, with His message, and usually the message of repentance. And we have the famous call of Isaiah. Maybe you remember when, and the Lord asks a question there, and He says, "Whom shall I send?" And of course, just like Isaiah was right there in His presence, and He raises His hands, and He says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And we see a great heart attitude in Isaiah. "Here am I, send me. What can I do, Lord, for Your kingdom?" What a great attitude. "Here am I, Lord, use me. What can I do for the church? Here am I, Lord, use me." And oh, if that wasn't the case in each of our hearts, "Lord, what can I do? Here am I, use me." And we see that Isaiah was sent from God with His message. We have Jonah. Of course, Jonah was sent to a Gentile nation, the city of Nineveh. And he was sent from God and carried the message of repentance there. And we see a great revival take place in that city from the preaching of Jonah. And then as we transition into the New Testament, we, of course, get to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have His great prayer in John 17. And He says, "Even as Thou hast sent me." So the Lord recognized He was sent from the Father. And of course, the Lord is the great missionary. He's our great example, of course, as the greatest missionary. And then He went on to say, "Even so have I sent them." And so the Lord sent His apostles. The word apostle even means the sent one. The word apostle means sent one. And so we see the Lord sent and the Lord sending the apostles. And of course, we know that they went out with the gospel. And we have the book of Acts. Nearly the entire book of Acts is a missionary journey. We have Philip being sent to the Ethiopian. There in Acts chapter 8, we see him getting saved. We have Saul, later called Paul, in Acts chapter 9, being knocked down on the road to Damascus. And then we have Peter being sent to Cornelius there in Acts chapter 10. We have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You will, and it's just like the doors open up to the world after these three get saved. And then we have Paul and Barnabas entering through that door carrying the gospel. We know the gospel means good news, simply the good news of Jesus Christ. And we know the good news is He died on the cross, they buried Him, and then 3 days later He rose from the dead. And Paul and Barnabas carried the good news out to the entire area there, to the different regions, the cities, Galatia and Ephesus and Philippi and Thessalonica, just carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see the fruit of their labors by the different churches that start springing up throughout the region there. And go back to 40, 50, 60 AD, we have those churches springing up. And now here we are nearly 2,000 years later, and we're still gathered in the local church with the same gospel message. Isn't that awesome? How that pattern was established back there from the Holy Spirit sending out Paul and Barnabas to do the missionary work. Churches start springing up, and here we are. And we have a great cloud of witnesses that carried that gospel down all through the centuries to us. And here we are nearly 2,000 years, and we're still gathering together in the church with the gospel message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we see the church being something that's very precious, being started up in those days. And so, number one, the Bible is a missionary book. And if you will, Romans chapter 10, This is the formula behind it. And we'll pick it up in verse 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And aren't you glad it says whosoever?
Amen.
What a great word, whosoever. And I'm glad in 1997 I was there and I can say I'm under whosoever. And of course we all are under that. But what a simple, great saying, whosoever shall call. We had one right over here, whosoever. They called on the name of the Lord this week and a couple others. So here's the formula though. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" Good question. How are they going to believe on Jesus Christ if they haven't heard about him? "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 15, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" There's our word, being sent or delegated by authority. And so we see a pattern here. God sends out the gospel message through different means, as men and women, the local church. He sends out the gospel message. They hear it. It enters into their heart. And then it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we have the formula there. And so number one, the Bible is a missionary book. Number two is found in Acts chapter 13. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 13, we'll pick it up in verse 1. And the number two, the second principle, is just simply the church itself. And the church is God's sending agency behind missions. He uses the church to send out the precious message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 13, verse 1. And the Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And so here we see the local church as God's institution or agency in sending out the gospel. And many of you know Antioch, that's one of the first churches. They're first called Christians there at Antioch. And the church sends out Barnabas and Paul, and we have the authority behind them, being, of course, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our author behind the local church. And so as we consider gathering together tonight in the local church, what a precious thing that is. It's been ordained by God, and He uses the church to tell others about the precious story of Jesus Christ. So it's no light thing that we're gathered together tonight in church. It's really a great privilege if you think about it. You have all the power of God behind the church. Is God not jealous over His church with a great jealousy? Wouldn't it be great if we had the same jealousy over the church as our Lord does? Of course, He loves enough to die for us. And so the church, God's sending agency, is very precious. It's good to have a spirit of appreciation for your church and the things that the church stands for. And it's really what made America great, is what you see right here, the local church. Because it's the church that's made families great. And God has blessed America through the families and through the local church of America. Now, most of the world wants what America has. They love our food and our clothing and the blessings that God has given us. And so they try to copy what America has because they want those things. But they leave out the main ingredient. They leave out Jesus Christ. They leave out His Word. They don't realize that what made America great is not America's strength and ingenuity. Nothing America did that made itself great. It's the church that made America great. It's not our democracy, and it's not our capitalist system, but it's God that blessed America through the local church. And I'm going to read you a quote here This is a pretty neat quote. This is from a French philosopher. It says, who visited our shores when America was a young nation. It says he came to the United States to learn what magic quality enabled a handful of people to defeat the mighty British Empire twice in 35 years. He looked for the greatness of America in her harbors and rivers, her fertile fields and boundless forest, mines and other natural resources. He studied America's schools, her Congress, and her matchless Constitution without comprehending America's power. Not until he went into the churches of America and heard pulpits aflame with righteousness did he understand the secret of her genius and strength. Isn't that interesting? He recognized the power behind America was in the church. He went on to say, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And you can see all around us, we're losing our goodness because families aren't in church. The church is being weakened and families are being weakened. And so America is being weakened as a result. It's the local church. And it's not the economy, and it's not who's in president, and all these things that they bombard us with 24 hours a day. It's simply the local church is being weakened, and families are being weakened as a result. And God's words are falling through to the ground because of that. And that's what's making America slip. It's the local church. I believe the greatest thing that you can do for your family and for your community and for your country is to be a part of a church. Amen. Just simply be a part of your church, because that's what's going to bless America. God's in full control. That He'll bless the families and the communities through the local church. And that's where the truth comes from. Paul said a great statement. He said the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. If you think about that, it's really awesome. Because this church, this is the pillar and ground. This is what the foundation of America is the church. Staten Island, this is the foundation right here. Staten Island may be held up because of a local church like this. That simple. And it's good to vote and take part in the community things, and I'm all for all that stuff too. But it's the local church that's really going to make the difference in the communities and in families. It's the church that makes us better people. It makes us better husbands. It makes us better wives. It makes us better children. And it's what God blesses, because you have all the power of God because He instituted the church. And it's easy to take it lightly. And we got church all the time, and there's one on every corner. But it's really a great privilege to be a part of it. And God has given us that privilege. It's good to love your pastor, because he steps in on spiritual, eternal issues. And it's easy when we go through our day to forget about eternal issues and how valuable a soul is. What's your name over here, buddy?
Tyler.
Where is Tyler going to come and hear that his soul goes on for eternity?
Amen.
Is he going to hear that in the local schools? Not anymore. What about local and national government? I'm not going to hear it there anymore. They're legislating it out. Hollywood? We know that's a joke, right? This is the slop that comes out of there. He's only going to hear about it from the local church, the pillar and ground of the truth, and the love of a great Savior that came and died for him, and those four precious souls that got saved. Eternity. And God gives us a part through the local church to take part in something that's eternal. Isn't that awesome to think about? We can take part in eternity just simply about telling Jesus Christ He loves you. Your name is written down, we heard from the 8-year-old. Her name is written down forever, for eternity. And we can have part in that. And your part is just to be a part of the church. What can I do, Lord? Here am I, use me. How can I help my family? Instituted from God, how can I help my church? That'll bless your community, that'll bless your family, and that'll bless your country. Strengthening the local church. The church is a lot more than people gathering together of like faith and like practice. And we do that. We come together tonight. We have like faith and like practice. But it's a habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't seem like we're just a humble little group here on Staten Island gathering together tonight. It's easy to lose track of eternity and the power of God behind this group. It doesn't take many to stand before God in that gap. Moses saved an entire people. The Lord told Abraham he would save Sodom and Gomorrah if he found 10 righteous. Just 10 righteous in that city. Isn't that something? We could make up one of those 10 right here in this local church. There's great power behind the church. And God has great jealousy over it. And the things that the church does is priceless to bring people into eternity. And God uses the church for that. And so number one, the Bible is a missionary book. Number two, the church is God's institution or His agency that He uses. And He uses the church then to send out the gospel message, the precious message of our Lord Jesus Christ. And number three, I like to call compassion. Some people will call it the Great Commission. Of course, we know in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you all. We know that the Great Commission is go ye therefore with the gospel. But when you read through the Gospels, the Lord has compassion all the time, all through the Gospel. He's always having compassion. Where they have leprosy or they're blind, the people that follow Him in groups or individual, He just says He has compassion. And His prayer, even when He saw the multitudes, He said, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers. And if we have a prayer meeting, of course, the Lord would raise His hand and say, yeah, I have a prayer request. Pray that the Lord would send forth laborers. Of course, He does that through the local church because He has compassion. It said when He saw the multitudes, and the Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. And what do we see when we see multitudes coming? Do we see a harvest field like the Lord and souls for eternity? Or do we get bothered? And I know many times it can be a kind of a nuisance to people. And the Lord said, I do always those things that please the Father. Isn't that great? Because I know I can say many times, I do always those things that please me. Instead of I look to please the Father. Lord, how can I help my family? How can I help the church? How can I have compassion on others today as you did? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And His compassion is just awesome. He just pours out love all the time. You don't even have to hardly open your mouth for the Lord. Your daily life and your compassion on others can shine forth that love as great as any testimony can. And what a world it is. You walk around, and I went down to Chinatown, and there's so many people, and it's just loneliness. There's no comforter. And you just show a little bit of love to someone. Bring them to church or witness or something. You can make an eternal difference right there in the heart of one person. Isn't that awesome to think about? And God's using this church in a great way with the kids stuff and street preaching, and then you got the print ministry and just sending out the gospel message. And you just think of the power behind that is because of the local church and how God blesses that because He has compassion on us. And He gives us great terms. He says that we're ambassadors. Paul says that, I beseech you therefore to present your bodies a living sacrifice. We become a sacrifice to the Lord and we're ambassadors for Him, for the local church. And we're in Christ's stead. We have great terms as ambassadors. We have a free gift to offer others. We have a free gift. I can offer a gift of eternal life. We don't have to say it's a maybe done. You have to earn it. If you just endure to the end, you may make it. And all that stuff. But no, we have it. It is finished, the Lord said. It is complete. And so we have a final package to offer. Great terms, huh? You can exchange your righteousness for God's righteousness.
Amen.
And you get the gift of eternal life. For your name is written down forever.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Great. And so as ambassadors, He's given us great terms for the local church to get out and send that message out. So number one, the Bible is a missionary book. Number two, the church is a sending agency. And then number three, the Great Commission, because of the Lord's compassion. And then we'll close here in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. This is what it's all about. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, in giving Him the worship and the obedience that He deserves. And here in Revelation 5, we'll pick it up in verse 9. And they're just worshiping the Lord. And it says in Revelation 5, verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation." And there's missionary work. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 in thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Amen. And He's certainly worth all that and much, much more. And that's what it's all about, just giving the Lord the worship and the obedience that He deserves. Amen. Through the local church. And I'll turn it over to Pastor. Thank you, Pastor.